Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him how to fish, feed for a lifetime. And so what we're trying to do in the football sense is try to feed people for a lifetime. It's hard to do that when people are throwing all kinds of big fish at young people who are still trying to figure out life out. A lot of the young kids don't even know how taxes work yet. You know, that's a great way to introduce them to adulthood is like, hey, here's taxes. That's not your check that you thought you were going to make.
Hey now, it's cracking. Welcome to the Jim Rohn Podcast, where I have an awesome conversation on deck for episode 273 this week, because this week I'm joined by a Jungle mainstay. Starting this fall as well, a Power 5 head football coach, because my guest today is BYU Cougars head football coach Kalani Sitake. Kalani is heading into his eighth season in Provo and in his first season in the Big 12. He is 56-34 as a head coach. His Cougars were 11-1 in 2020. He has been sending players to the NFL in bunches, and as you're about to hear, he is just a great dude to chop it up with. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it. It is episode number 273 with BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake, and it's coming at you right now. Kalani, it is absolutely awesome to have you on the pod so we can chop it up long form. Really appreciate you making time for it. How are things? How are you feeling?
Doing great. Just, you know, football right around the corner. So that means, you know, our time's almost come. All the training, the off-season stuff's going to pay off. And it gets that way for coaches, too. I know everybody focuses on the players, but coaches are just excited about getting to football as soon as possible. That means that right now, summertime, let's get some time with the family, then get right back to ball.
I get that. Now, the good thing about this, not only is football right around the corner, but it's an enormous week for the program. In fact, it's been deemed big week, quote unquote, for all the festivities which are leading up to the program officially becoming a member of the Big 12 Conference this Saturday. What has big week been like? How has it gone?
It's been awesome. The fans are just loving it, and the you know, I've said this before that our program, we're really excited. The players are really excited, and coaches, everybody's excited about this administration. But the fans are the key to it. We have an amazing fan base, and they've been awesome for so long. When you're looking at the tradition at BYU, especially with football, the fans are the key to it, and they're the ones that make it work. So it's almost like, for me, being a fan, growing up a fan, it's like this is a dream come true for all of them. And I'm just excited. You see all the energy that the fans are coming with, and I'm looking forward to having that be an advantage for us in the season.
You know, I'm going to talk to you about the conference and the football fit in a minute, but you mentioned the fans. What about that fan base? In your mind, what makes the fan base so unique, so different? What do you appreciate about them the most?
Well, they love football, and they know football. So they have a high football IQ, and most of these, the fan base grew up in watching BYU football and watching BYU sports, so they're basically trained from mom and dad since they're young to follow this team and to know the team and appreciate them and then get involved and so the passion, the excitement, the energy is it's a family thing. So we've had a great time. I've had an unbelievable life growing up a BYU fan. We won the national championship when I was 9, so that was a lot of fun. And throughout that time, seeing all the legends that have come through and played here and gone on and played through in the league, most of them being quarterbacks, it's been such an awesome journey as a fan. I know the fans have their own personal stories, and I'm just excited that they have more opportunities now to see different venues and be around some really good teams in the Big 12.
All right, so I'm glad you mentioned the quarterbacks, because I mean, going to the Big 12 is such an awesome, awesome opportunity for the program. When you think about the Big 12, you think about the high-powered offenses. BYU is renowned for their history of outstanding quarterbacks, going back to Jim McMahon, Steve Young, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you see your program making that transition to the conference from a perspective, a quote, of a quote, football fit?
Yeah, I think the key is, you know, football, people think of offense first, and so I know that being in the system, running this offense under Norm Chow and Lavelle Edwards when I was a player, and seeing it produce so many different stats, like you just mentioned, a couple of the legends that have played here, even knowing that Mike Leach and all those, that the Air Raid has a foundation that comes from this offense, There's a lot of history, a lot of tradition going into it, but seeing it and being the owners of it now and being basically the ones that are driving the ship, I think it's important for us to try to put the numbers up there. And then you're going to a conference. I remember back in the day, you remember it wasn't that long ago that nobody was in the shotgun. Maybe it was a few teams that did it, and they only did it on third down. Now it's just like it's completely flipped where everybody's in the shotgun and not as many as under center. So that's kind of where the game's gone. And this conference, high-powered offense, but you have to realize that when there's high-powered offense, the defenses aren't bad either. And well-coached teams. I've been really impressed meeting all the coaches in the conference and in the meetings that we've had and my interactions with them, and well-coached teams, and also passionate fan bases. I'm really excited to be a part of it and be in the mix, you know, and it just changes football a little bit for us. I love that we're in a conference now after the years of being an independent, and just really looking forward to the newness of it, but also feeling like we belong. And I think we belong and we fit in so many different ways, a fan base being one of them.
All right. So that's great right there. So you feel like you belong. I mean, do you expect there to be any kind of period of transition, or do you expect to go in there and do some immediate damage in your first year in that conference?
That's the great thing about expectations is that nobody has higher expectations than me. You know, I don't know if I want to make them public, but we all have high expectations of ourselves, and I definitely do as a head coach. But I also want to meet the expectations of our fans. And right now, the thing that I can control is getting our team to make sure that we play our best, the 12 opportunities that we're given. And if we do it right, then we'll earn more opportunities to play again in the season. So that's my focus. But you're looking at the opportunities, but there's going to be some transition. That's part of life. That's whenever you're making change. I was at Utah when we went from the Mountain West to the Pac-12, and so was our offensive coordinator and our defensive coordinator. So we went through that transition. We went through that whole the movement from a Mountain West to the Pac-12, and then now we're here. There's a lot of similarities. The difference is we're at a private school compared to a state school, but there's a lot of similarities, but there are also some differences with the teams that are involved. But the foundation of that transition, I think we're learning from it, and it was good being first, you know, going through it the first time. It's kind of like being a parent when you first have your first child. It's always different. There's a lot of things that you didn't expect. And so now going into it again, I think there's some things that we know we probably made too much of an emphasis that we don't have to worry about. And then there's some things that we probably didn't understand. And now we know that those are going to be issues. So that's the thing that we're going into. I think we feel a little bit more comfortable going into a second time. And hopefully it works out well for us.
That makes sense to me. You know, you mentioned a couple of things. Number one, expectations, and that nobody's going to want this or have higher expectations for the group than you. And then, of course, control, things you can control and things you can't control. Do you get the sense? And again, this goes back to expectations and what you can and cannot control. But do you get the sense that outside the facility, there is skepticism as to how the Cougars will do in their first year or two? And because of that, do you and the players have a little something maybe for the non-believers?
I think that's, I mean, listen, I don't do things, and the way I try to lead this program and the way I learned from Lavelle is that I'm not worried about proving people wrong as much as I'm trying to prove us right, you know? And so I know that there's a saying that people, they you either love to win or you hate losing, whichever one doesn't matter the motivation. To me, it's like, I just love to compete. And so the byproduct and the result will work out in your favor if you're focused on trying to get better and going through all the, nobody's undefeated in life. You know what I mean? So you have two choices. You can either, try to win and then hopefully you win enough that you learn, or you can just try to win and learn at the same time. And that's the focus for me is that we want to meet expectations. First of all, the expectations of our fans, every fan base wants their team to win. So do we, and we want to, but I also want our players and our program to understand There's one thing. One thing is to have expectations of fans. There's another thing not to have no fans. So be grateful and thankful that you have fans that care, and then try to do everything you can to meet their expectations. I know one thing: when we all win, everybody's happy. So that's But the emphasis can't be just win only and win at all costs. It's got to be do things the right way, handle all the small details, get yourself in a position where the success will come. And then if for some reason you run into adversity, you learn from it and learn as much as you can from those lessons so that you increase your chances of winning again.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Do not make a shake or eat a bar. Instead, grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Why Old Trapper? Because Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender and made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. Old Trapper is a family-owned business that takes smoked beef very seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Who wants dried, tough beef in a bag? Nobody. It's like eating a shoe. Old Trapper is the real deal, and it comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned is sweetened with a touch of brown sugar goodness, teriyaki, peppered, and hot and spicy for those of you who like to take things up a notch. Next time you want a great protein and energy snack that you can have anytime, anywhere, grab some Old Trapper beef jerky. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I think this is all great wisdom, and I agree with you. Like, you want to love the process. You want to love to compete. You want to love to do the work. You want to love to be detail-oriented. You want to love to be consistent. If you do all those things and you love all those things, then more often than not, it's going to work out. Now, you mentioned Lavelle a couple of times, so let me just ask you about him quickly. Lavelle Edwards was larger than life there, of course, and you did play for him. Like, what were the attributes that made him so impactful both on and off the field?
Oh, I would say, first of all, it's just compassion. You know, that there's people that have sympathy and empathy, and then there's just people that just have this compassion, which is just a willingness to help and to be there for you. And Lavelle, it wasn't so much about football as it was about life. And I really appreciate that about him, you know. And I mean, I wish he was still around, but I love the fact that I'm running this program and I got to play for him. And that a lot of the things that we're doing, if I were to say about culture, is exactly what he did for me when I was a student athlete. And I enjoyed it so much that I'm trying to replicate it and do everything I can to give these student athletes, these players, the opportunities and the experiences that I had. And it wasn't just about the football field. There's things off the field and my life as a person, as a human, that mattered. And when I talked to Lavelle, and you talked to Lavelle, those of us that played for him, we know exactly what it's about. And for him, it was, he knew your name, he knew your life, he knew what you're doing, and he knew your goals, and he was going to do whatever he can to help you get there. And that's why he was so great.
You know, Klein, to follow up on that, like, clearly you want to excel on the football field, but football is only part of the experience for any player who comes to Provo. How would you sum up what you're looking for in a BYU student athlete?
Well, it can't just be about football. It has to be about what we're doing. The fit here has to be aligned with what we're trying to promote out there. And you know, our mission is aligned with our university, which is aligned with our church. And that's promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and promote goodness in all things and try to do things with a positive mindset. For us, it's the concepts of following Christ and being a disciple of Christ. That makes life a lot better. It actually works in home and in your life at home. It works in business. It can work in football too. And so, we're trying to promote that. Use our platform to do that. And we have people of other faiths that are on our team, and they feel comfortable living their religion and expressing their beliefs and their thoughts. And that's what Christ is all about, is loving one another. And that's what we can do. And that's kind of a weird thing for people to talk about when you're in a violent and physical sport. But there's a way to do it. And our motivation is going to be focused around love. I'm not saying that other people don't do that, but love really doesn't have a ceiling or a limit. Other things, fear and all those things have a certain motivation, but they can only go so far.
You know, it's so interesting. I was just going to ask you, when you mentioned love, I was going to say, what is the more powerful emotion, love or fear?
Well, it's got to be love. I mean, we all know movies. Look at Monsters, Inc. That's just a movie, okay? But I think it's a great example of it, that these monsters. And if you didn't watch Monsters, Inc., I'm sorry. It's going to be here. I'm going to blow it for you on how the movie's going to go. So, but if these monsters scared kids, they bottled up the energy, the fear. It created energy power for them to live off of. They found out, by however it happened, a child laughing and being happy had this exponential growth and created more power. And that seemed to be the way to go. But even though there was a new way, it was so unique and different that there was still opposition in it. It's because people are just so used to doing things one way and keeping it that way that they don't want to try something new. And so point is that, listen, football's been done where we all know that's a tough man's game, and you beat your chest and you want to be this alpha person and just overcome your opponents. But there's some of the best fighters that I admire, the ones that are quiet, understand, humble, and they focus on love. They focus on what they're actually trying to get done in that battle, in that fight. And those are the ones that I actually cheer for. And when you're looking at the others, can be loud, but it definitely has a ceiling. The ones that are quiet and humble, those are the people that I like that I try to follow. And man, we're following Christ, man. You talk about the toughest guy that ever walked this earth. That's our Savior. So love definitely is the best motivator. And I suggest people try it out. It's just different, unique, and not a lot of people are willing to do it, but you'll find that the power and the energy in it is way more and way more than what fear can produce.
Love is cool. You should try love out. Love is pretty cool. Positivity is cool. You know, when you talk about fighters with humility, the guys that you really admire, the guys you really respect, are we talking, Kalani, about football players? You're talking about boxers, combat sports? What kind of fighters are you talking about? Like who, for instance?
Everybody in general. I mean, I'm probably the guy that's like, I like the, listen, I appreciate good skill. So I've always liked the guys that can talk, but they back it up, whether they're in the boxing ring or in the cage. And so I like the guys that talk, but they can back. I respect that, right? That I do. But it's like the Khabibs that are out there. They're quiet, and then they don't get rattled by the loud talker, and then they just get their business done. So those are the ones that I always lean to. I get the others sell the tickets but I appreciate the Muhammad Ali's and all the great ones that have fought. We've talked combat sports before. I love boxing, but if you're to take two fighters that are they're just looking at each other face to face, and one is being obviously flamboyant and not showing any kind of sportsmanship, even being disrespectful in the stare off, I tend to go for the humble guy, and let's see how it works out. But if the loud guy backs it up and gets the win, you got to respect that. But to me, the ones that are odd are the ones that leave a little bit, the mysterious ones are the ones that you're like, ooh, that guy's deadly, and that guy's got things under control. And one of the hardest things to do is be in control. I think it's easy to get angry, but if you look at like, okay, so I know I'm going out, stepping outside the box here, but
I love it. I love it. Keep going.
Let's look at like Conor McGregor when he fought Jose Aldo, right? Conor knew what he was doing. He got into his head. He got Aldo so upset that Aldo just lost his cool. When the bell rung and they started the fight, he did something that was way out of his own character. He just came out there with anger and just started swinging, and they got clocked. He fell for the trap. And for someone that's normally humble and quiet, he fell for the trap of Conor got to him. And it's the same thing that he did to I'm trying to think of, let me see, who did he fight from Louisiana? For some reason, his name slipped my mind.
Not Poirier.
Yeah, so Dustin Poirier, they fought the first time. I you remember they fought the first time,
yes.
And Conor got to him, and then Conor got him. The second time, the next time they fought, Poirier was under control, didn't fall for the same antics. And listen, I respect Conor McGregor's game. I love I think he's one of the, I think the striking, how do you take a guy that can go from there to fight against Mayweather and hang in there? So this guy is a definite one of the best combat guys out there, but Dustin didn't fall for it. The next time they fought, he was a different fighter. And so to me, anger, fear, that stuff makes you act out of character. You lose your cool. think about when you've been the most angry. When I've been the most angry, I've thought some really dumb things. It's like when we get angry, we say some of the meanest things to the people that we love the most, and we do some of the dumbest things ever. Like me getting angry thinks that my fist going through a wall is going to fix everything, and all you got is a hole in the wall and a hurt hand. And so if I personally make bad mistakes and say dumb things when I'm angry, maybe I shouldn't get angry anymore, right? Maybe I should be in control and then show a little bit more humility, but like be in control of my thoughts and my actions and my emotions. And if I do, maybe I can take advantage of that. And so the positive people that want to look at different at things differently and see things that, you know, the good in others, I think that those are the ones that matter. And that to me, you know, that's why I look at Christ, that example that he sets, and I follow what he does. I try to teach like he does, and not saying that we're perfect or anything or better than anybody, but why not go for the perfect example? And that's Jesus Christ for me.
Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you have earned doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Discover does it automatically. Seriously though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Hey, listen, I think that's some of the worst decisions I've ever made, and I can't speak for anybody other than me, but I think I can say this with confidence. Some of the worst decisions any of us ever make are out of emotion. When we're emotional, when we're not rational, we make bad decisions that we regret. I agree with you. So when you have the team and you get the team together and you play some golf this week, I'm kind of curious, like, you've got a golf club and guys pick it up, and you know how golf courses work, right? Like, I used to join clubs and never play, but I understood golf. Golf is a great thing, and that not only is it the great equalizer of all things, no matter how good of an athlete you are, if you don't play golf, that's a really tough thing. But what it does is it puts everybody in the same place for a period of time and allows them to bond and come together. It's a great place to get to know people and do business. What did it do for your football team, and what did it do for their chemistry this week?
Well, I mean, it's test their anger for sure, because the one thing that can be more frustrating than anything is go play golf, you know.
But, no doubt.
But also, you start to look at why you love golf. It's not because you're a great golfer. It's because you love the company, the people that you're with. You get to actually let loose and just kind of talk about whatever. You have hours to spend there. You're not sitting there looking at phones or anything. You're out there you're outdoors, and you're enjoying and appreciating what God gave you. You know, they gave you great life and you're great people, and then you're in a setting that you appreciate the settings, and people work hard to make the course nice for you. So the game is great. I didn't understand it when I was younger, and I didn't understand why Lavelle Edwards played it so much, but I get it now. And I get what the concept is, to just bring people together. And then, you know, it's like you play golf, everybody plays golf, but then you realize, well, I'm not good enough. And then you realize everybody sucks at this game. The ones that are good are the ones that are getting paid for it. So we're not playing this game because we're great at it. We play this game because we like hanging out with everybody and then doing something different that can bring people together. Our team is playing a lot of golf together. It could be whatever. It could be whatever they're doing. I just feel like this is a great opportunity for them to know each other, even at their worst. When someone's and you can't help it, when someone makes a mistake and is not doing well, you want to help them make their swing smoother. Let them know that they're too sharp on their backswing. Things like that. You just have something to talk about. It's not like you're just quiet the whole time watching a movie. You can't bond while watching a movie together. But you can bond when you're out there and you're in a foursome or you're with another person that you're playing golf and you both suck and you're trying to help each other. You know, like, at least you can rally around one thing that's a common denominator. Like, we love this game. We're not good at it, but we're going to get one of these shots are going to be amazing. And then we're going to keep coming back together and hanging out and playing this game.
I like that. It's a great reaction. And it's okay to suck. Like you said, almost everybody does. As long as you play relatively quickly, that's okay. And you're coming together. And the good thing about golf too, and again, I don't play it, so I don't want to act like I do, but I know it's good also to think your way through a course. You're also using your brain. That's a good thing. So before I let you go, what about, like, this is a really different time right now for the sport, obviously, with of the NIL and players able to monetize their name, their image, their likeness. I like it. Like, I think it's great, but it is a very different thing. I'm curious about this. What was your reaction to Trent Dilfer saying, "I dare coaches to try to take my players"? Like, he's not having it at all. Do you get where he's coming from? Or is this all part of it now? In other words, are there do's and don'ts in trying to secure somebody else's players in the current landscape? How do you approach it?
Well, I can speak for this because I spoke to Trent, and we talked about this, in a conversation. And I think he's very passionate about his team and his group and doesn't want to be disrupted. I get the what he says. I just think that the game's different now, and the kids are allowed to make decisions, and whether it's on their name, image, and likeness, and they want to look for ways to make money. I think there's always an exception to things where people, when you say, well, it's just money, well, for some people, that money is more than they can ever make. And so you have to understand from all different angles how this can affect people. So I'm trying to see it from other people's eyes and realize that there are some that this could really help, but for the majority of the people, college is about the experiences and the people and the lessons that you learn from going in college. I'm not saying that you can't make more money, your name, image, and likeness. I think there's enough money to spread out to people that can actually that go out there and put their body in harm's way. But there's a good way to do it. It's just money isn't the key to everything. There's education. There's ways to make money. You can't just give somebody. It's that old saying that you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him how to fish, feed for a lifetime. And so what we're trying to do in the football sense is try to feed people for a lifetime. It's hard to do that when people are throwing all kinds of big fish at young people who are still trying to figure out life out. A lot of the young kids don't even know how taxes work yet. You know, that's a great way to introduce them to adulthood is like, hey, here's taxes. That's not your check that you thought you were going to make. But sometimes there's two ways to learn. There's a school of hard knocks where you just learn the hard way and difficult way, or there's a way that we can kind of educate them and do it in a timely manner. It's hard to do that and hard to develop young men in the game of football, but also in life if there's all these distractions coming at them from so many different angles. And the biggest distraction is promise of money. So I get what Trent's saying. I get what other coaches are saying, but that's the game. So you have to rely on your culture and you have to rely on your team. And just get the guys the right fit. I just want to coach the guys that want to be here. They're aligned with the same things that I'm aligned with. They see what I see. I want guys that want to play football and do some great and tough things on the field, but I also want them to go out in the community and do some service and charity work because I think that builds character. And so if a guy doesn't want to just only wants to play football, this is the wrong school and I'm the wrong coach. If you want to do other things and see that you're valuable to people rather than just what you do on the field, then come this way and we'll figure it out. And you only find those wonderful strengths that can work on those developing those skills if you're actually doing it deliberately. You can't just fall in and do it by accident. If you want to help people, let's go out and do some charity work. Use your platform as a student athlete that people watch and idolize on football field. Use that in the community. Go see how kids react to you because now you're spending time with them. And that time and that money, the money rather than the time that you spend with these kids, there's a value to everything, but is it worth it to you to see that you're changing lives, or is it just about making the bank, the bank statement a little bit higher?
U.S. Cellular has some great news, especially for you, person listening to this podcast. Right now, you can get one line with unlimited data for just $29.99. So, unlike other cell networks, you won't have to pay for lines you don't need just to get a good price. Get one line for $29.99 with unlimited data today. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms do apply. Visit uscellular.com for details. Fit is everything. So why don't you leave me with this thought? We talked about quarterback play. So one last thought. You added a marquee grad transfer in Keaton Slovis. He played 3 years at USC. He spent last season at Pitt. What do you like about him, and what does he bring to your team?
Well, I mean, the amount of maturity that he brings here is unbelievable. And the fact that he has tons of football experience already played. The thing that we're asking him to do is be a leader and let's try to highlight other things about your game. And that's we've put him in a position where you have to be a leader. You have to be the quarterback at BYU. You mentioned when you start naming the legends, everybody goes that way. You talk about like Steve Young, Jim McMahon, Ty Detmer, you know, there's all Giff Nielsen. There's all these wonderful players that have been through here. And so they got to be, you have to be a leader. And so something, if you want to develop a leader, you got to give him a chance to lead. And we've empowered him with that opportunity. A-Rod, our offensive coordinator, has done a great job getting him there. But he's also learned a lot of lessons along the way from the places that he was at with USC and also with Pitt. And so we're utilizing all that and saying, hey, those are great things that you picked up. Let's put it into work here at BYU as well. The players love him. It seems like he's been here for a long time already. It seems like he's been part of our family, which means that other places have missions and goals that are really aligned with what we're doing as well, which is a good sign. And so his fit to us fits in so many different ways, not just what he does schematically on the football field, but also how he lives his life. And it's been a pleasure for me to see, and I'm honored to be his coach. I'm just looking forward to seeing the things that he can do on the football field, because he's doing some great things off the field right now.
It is a really exciting time. In fact, it's the big week. BYU going into the Big 12 this Saturday. Kalani, I appreciate the relationship. I appreciate all the conversations you and I have had over the years. And I really appreciate during this time when you have some family time, some personal time, that you went long form with me on the pod. It is so great to get caught up. And I do appreciate it so much, man. Thank you very, very much for that.
Man, you're the best. I appreciate what you do, and just so you know, I mean, you make the world better. You and the way your perspective on sports and how you bring everyone together. There's a reason why a lot of people follow you, including myself, and just really appreciate being on this podcast with you.
Enormous thanks to my guy Kalani Sitake. The dude has amazing passion for football, but also an incredible passion for life. And I know he's pumped for what's ahead for his program in the Big 12, but also he's got a lot more than that on his mind. So it was great to stretch out and get some extended time with a dude who is juggling a whole lot right now. And if you're looking for more of the same, more premium, extended, and free conversations like the one you just heard, I have 272 of them in the bank, and they all hold up. Check out any one of them, and even better news, we are still pumping out eps every single week. So subscribe if you haven't already. This way, you find out first every single time a new episode does drop. Find that subscribe button, smash that subscribe button, and I will see you next time.